Good evening, folks. The microphones are on and the cameras are rolling. I will kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Albert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
Just for the record, Alderman Piper is joining us tonight from Detroit. And Mr. Piper, as you know, the rules governing a teleconference participation requires that you state your name prior to any speaking. Of course, state your name prior to any vote. Thank you. Thank you for that brief answer.
Will he keep us up to date on the score?
Yeah, Mr. Marks wants to know if you'll keep him up to date on the score of the Hawks game. So. The chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals, Mr. Art Kangel, would you do us the honor of leading us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a full agenda tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But before we begin, I do want to just take a moment to acknowledge one of our staff members who retired last week. As all of you know, our finance director, Mr. Don Weiss, concluded his career with the City of Geneva, Friday being his last day. And I want to publicly thank Mr. Weiss and certainly his family for allowing us to borrow his time and talent and to acknowledge his good work throughout the 13 or 14 years, I believe it was. Yeah, 14 years in September. As I've stated to many others, thanks to Mr. Weiss's leadership, his intelligence, and, of course, the leadership of Mr. Phil Page, city administrator, and, of course, our current city administrator, Mrs. McKittrick, Don is owed a debt of gratitude to all of us, particularly when you consider that Mr. Weiss's, the majority of his tenure was completed at the city during an extraordinary growth period. And, of course, the last few years during extraordinarily challenging economic times. So, Mr. Weiss, congratulations. Thank you, and enjoy your retirement. We have some public hearings. Item 3A is a public hearing on establishment of special service area number 25, located at 1000 Randall Road, office building condominium. I would entertain a motion to open that public hearing.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Singer, seconded by Mr. Marks. Is voice vote sufficient, Mr.?
It is, Mr. Ryan.
City Attorney, all in favor of opening the public hearing, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Mr. Piper states aye as well. You already forgot rule one. State your name. And be careful, Bob. Brenda Shore just arrived.
Oh, Bob. I'll be sure to state my name clearly.
Questions or comments regarding this public hearing, ladies and gentlemen of the audience?
Just for the record, Mayor,
microphone.
The purpose of this public hearing is, or the purpose of the special service area, proposed special service area, is to provide a backup special service area for detention that's associated with renovated building that's going to become has become a condominium to service various uses.
Any questions from the dais? Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
No move.
Motion by Alderman Hill.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Marks. Mr. Kandel, did I skip you? If you had a.
No, I. My attendance here is at the request of the people who live in the reserve.
Oh, okay.
And as you know.
Mr. Kandel, if I could trouble you to come, if the council permits me to temporarily allow Mr. Kandel to speak, although we've.
Name is Arthur.
It's on the subject, correct, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the name is Arthur Kandel, and I have questions about the detention reservoir, and as I understand, it will eventually drain into the big detention area south of Fargo Boulevard. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And...
Director, didn't just...
So, pardon me?
I was just checking the audience to make sure somebody smarter than me was here, but apparently I'm it.
Okay. And I was, I had talked to Pam over at the Department of Public Works, and she assured me that the outflow from the detention reservoir would not impede the flow of our detention pond and drainage from the reserve. And she indicated that everything would be taken care of and we would not suffer from it. So I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
If you don't mind, Mr. Kendall, when you referred to Pam, you're referring to Pam Broviak.
The yes, I am. And I only heard her name once, and I couldn't remember it. Thank you very much.
She's here so often, her husband forgets her name sometimes as well, so it's all good. We have a motion and a second already to close the public hearing, and I apologize for going so quickly and not recognizing the chairman. Any other anybody wishing to speak? Otherwise, all in favor of closing the public hearing, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Piper votes aye.
Thank you, Mr. Piper. Item 3B, consider the mayor's reappointment of city officials for the 2010-2011 fiscal year.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by Brown. We have some of our officials with us tonight. Chief Mexen, welcome. Chief Olson, welcome.
Would you like us to amend the motion to only appoint the ones who made
it? Yeah, I think that'd be seems fair. And of course, our assistant city administrator and city administrator, so I think it goes without saying that these men and women have done a yeoman's job in terms of leading us through a tumultuous 2 years, particularly last year, so I just want to thank them publicly for their efforts. So. Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, Mayor. Question on a procedural matter.
Sure.
This was not before the Committee of the Whole. We're taking it right to the Council?
Correct.
And
that's standard operating procedure?
Okay.
It's considered primarily at the Council level?
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call.
Anyone else? Roll call, Mr. Clerk.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Piper votes aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
According to my notes, we're at item four, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments tonight by any member of the council or member of the audience? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk can be considered routine and enacted by one simple motion.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes that motion. Alderman Brown makes the second. Mr. City Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Piper votes aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Item number 10, municipal bills for payment. Mr. Clerk, please read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $203,675.75.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city website.
Second.
Alderman Brown motions to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city website. That second is offered by Alderman Hill. Questions or comments? Seeing none, hearing none. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Piper votes aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Ladies and gentlemen, with your permission, I'd like to just quickly rearrange the agenda. And let's take care of item 11B as in boy. 11B is consider ordinance number 2010-22, allowing for a special use permit in the B4 business district to allow for the package sale of alcoholic beverages in the retail space located at 1144 East State Street.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion. Alderman Vogelsberg makes the second. Questions or comments? Director Unch is not available tonight. Nor is Director DeVita, but obviously Mrs. McKittrick and or Ms. Dawkins is available. Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I'll just address the chair on this. With the special use permit, is a liquor license required for a liquor store? Or is it assumed that the special use liquor store doesn't need a liquor license?
The answer is your first statement. It is anticipated that the applicant will be requesting a liquor license to operate a packaged liquor store.
Okay, so we're not voting on a liquor license this evening, just the special use to go into the building.
That's correct. Okay. Because this matter is on the, it's not on the consent agenda because at the last meeting,
right.
It did not receive unanimous vote.
Correct.
The liquor license application itself will be brought back to this council once the police and others have had a chance to review the background of the applicants. Alderman Marks?
Just to follow up with the discussion I had with you, Mayor Burns, last week, is my question is once we give the new business, we allow the special permit, can they start build-out then before we vote on the liquor license? There was a discussion between Director Unsh and I that said that, you know, the liquor license, my concerns are that those stores, there's another store so close with the same liquor license, and he said that really has to be separately discussed underneath the liquor license, not underneath the zoning option, and I don't want to have the tenant go through a build-out, and then we end up in a discussion over a liquor license is my concern.
Well, I think the risk of building out that site would be borne by the applicant if he and or she feels comfortable in applying for the liquor license and building out at the same time, and if should there be
so they can continue to, they can start to build out prior to the liquor license.
That is correct, and I'll defer to the city attorney to verify that.
Yes, okay. I mean the package liquor license requires to be in the number needs to be increased under the liquor license code of the city. So that consideration would have to be made by the city council, and then an application would be made by whoever is seeking that license, and they need to have a premises to operate the package store. So, yes, the build-out would come first.
Okay.
Of course, that requires the building permit, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Question?
Yes, Alderman Dantino.
So for me to understand this, then, the special use is just because he wants to try and sell liquor in this strip mall there.
That's correct.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he has permission to sell liquor at this point.
That's correct, because that's based on the background check of the applicant that has to go through not only the state of Illinois but our own police department. So should there be a blemish in that background check, there is a chance that, in fact, that liquor license would not be permitted.
And that has to be voted on again by this council as well?
Mr. City,
no, that's not correct. No, once there is a license available and a proper application is submitted, then the mayor can issue the license after that license is available and the application is made.
Okay. Thank you.
The council has the authority to expand the number of licenses available.
Right, we would have to increase the number of licenses.
Yes.
And that would be the... this is what would be required in this instance.
That's correct.
Okay. No, there's not an available liquor license out there, is there?
That's correct. There's not.
We're at our limit.
Right. So we would have to add a liquor license.
Correct.
Consent of the council by approval of the mayor.
Correct. And just for historically speaking, that's what we've done for the last 10 years, where we don't have an infinite number of liquor licenses per se, but this council considers liquor licenses as they are requested. Alderman Marks.
I guess my clarification is when should the discussion then take place of the stores being so close to each other? Director Unch had told me it should come into play when the liquor license was. It was his understanding of that. Remember, Mayor, I did discuss that with you.
Yeah, you can certainly do so now. Absolutely.
I mean, that is a concern. They are less
because
than
by authorizing this special use, we are, in essence, authorizing the expansion of liquor licenses to be available. So,
because, you know, we are going to have two liquor stores then less than 1,000 feet apart, which I guess I wonder how two businesses are really going to survive doing the exact same thing so close to each other. And that's just my concern. So
those are germane comments and questions. So the applicant, of course, is with us tonight as well. I don't know if anyone else is here tonight. Mrs. Patel is back with us again tonight. Welcome.
Thank you,
Alderman Piper?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I voted against this last week. It was a knee-jerk reaction on my part, really, for the same concerns that Alderman Marks brought up. I will vote for it this week. I don't want to get in the way of any free enterprise in town. My gut reaction was they are mirror image stores selling the same thing way too close to each other, but that is, my feelings aside, I don't want to get in the way of what somebody wants to try and do, so I will vote for it tonight, but I agree with Rich. I don't necessarily know that this is the best plan in the world, but I guess we'll see how it shakes out.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I'll comment. I think it's whatever the applicant is looking to do. I mean, if you think that you can survive in an environment where there's another competition across the street or next to you or wherever, 1,000 feet away, I can't oppose it. I guess it's the same thing as in Randall Road. We had so many mattress shops that, you know, for some reason they've survived for a while. I guess they're leaving now, but so I guess only your marketplace will tell you, you know, bear out whether you're successful or not. So that's my comment.
Anyone else on the dais?
No.
Alderman Pollack?
Thank you. Last week I voted for this to move it to the city council, to the full council. It's something I'm troubled with, particularly in these economic times, whether or not they're going to succeed. You know, the market will determine that. But I feel that, the city has a greater responsibility of attracting more diverse businesses other than putting another liquor store so close to the existing one. I think it's up to us to go out and market the city and bring sustainable businesses. But after a long thought, this is something that I can't vote for, to have another liquor store so close to the existing one. Thank you.
Alderman Maladra?
I'm not a lawyer or an attorney, but I'm sort of questioning how much we can legally do in this regard. Can we say, I want a flower shop in that location, and therefore let it be a flower shop? I don't think so.
Greg, I'm speaking to the liquor license.
Well, even there, what are the legal bounds for denying a license? You're too close to another one. I'm confused about what authority we have in situations like this. And if we deny this one and then approve one 6 months later, on what grounds? And that's a question, not a statement. I'm just curious about that. The risk here is borne by the applicant in any case. As far as how we govern the businesses that go into specific locations, I've been working on this stuff for almost 2 decades, and I haven't seen us get down into specific details like that before. So I guess it's just a question. What can we do?
I'll defer to the city attorney with respect to our authority as a policy-making board and, dare I say, as a political board. My assumption is that we have some leeway, but you're right, perhaps that leeway also provides some sort of danger, but I'll defer to the city attorney.
Well, I think the liquor license prerogative is much broader, much more liberal for the city council to administer and decide as to the number of licenses to issue and how they are distributed. That doesn't mean that the actual who it's going to go to, but to establish the categories and the classifications, as opposed to the zoning requirements. Zoning is much more confined by the state of the law, and certainly in this state, as to the ability to have certain. You have to have certain classifications: residential, business, industrial. But within those classifications, it's much more constricted. Much more constricted upon the city council making those decisions. So you have more discretion in the liquor area than you do in the zoning.
But that discretion sticks with the number of available licenses. So were we to say, no, we don't want to increase that today, and then a month later a different applicant in a different location comes along and we say, now we do want to increase it, that's not problematic?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's. I'm not sure I'm concerned about that aspect, but I think the liquor code, the dram shop code, has always given a great deal of local deference to local administration and local governance.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I just wanted to explain my vote last week because, to me, we're voting on the special use, and they have proven they have met the nine special use considerations. So I feel like we have to approve it because of that. They've met exactly what the city's required of them. So that I think the liquor license is a totally different conversation.
Right.
But I just couldn't vote against it knowing that that's not how the zoning law is written. Piper, what are you doing? Thank you.
Eating peanut brittle.
I think Alderman Piper's having chips.
I think so. Kevin, wait till we hear that.
Yeah, Alderman Pollack?
Thanks, Kevin. And Don, as a in respect to the special use, I agree with you. They meet the criteria, but as the mayor advised, now is the time to talk about the liquor license because it's part and parcel to it. I certainly acknowledge the standards have been met. My issue is with the issuance of the liquor license, and I can't sit here in good conscience and say to these folks why I'm going to vote against it. I understand you've met the criteria. Yes, I agree with you, and that's why I voted for it last time. Now is the venue to discuss the liquor license. That is which I'm opposed to. Thank you.
And to clarify, the liquor license being considered tonight is in essence a package store, because we all know that while this is not germane, there will be additional liquor license requests when additional restaurants pursue opportunities in our community. So,
Mr. Mayor, I think we need to clarify the increase of the package store license is not before the council tonight, only the zoning, the special use. So the consideration of whether there's an increase in the package store would come at a later date.
Okay. When would that later date be? Next week's committee of the whole meeting, probably. Right? It'll be on May 10th. So again, tonight's the zoning issue. Well, they're germane. I think they're germane because at least now we're ferreting out some of the comments and concerns. So.
Oh, that was my concern last week, because prior to the meeting, I had a discussion with Director Unch, and he said, realistically, your concern is more with the liquor license, so the zoning should be separate. But my concern is that we approved the zoning and they didn't apply for the liquor license. They had built out the store, and then we've had capital outlay, and we haven't discussed the issue that there are some problems that members have with the liquor license. And that's why I brought that subject up.
Fair enough.
To try not to get a point, but that was my concern.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I think that it's not uncommon for the question of whether you're going to increase the number of available licenses in a liquor category to be before the council at any time. Whether or not when an applicant makes an application for a license is a completely different issue, and it's an administrative matter to a great extent. So there's probably the risk on the part of these particular applicants as to when they make that request, but I would suggest that the consideration of the increase of the package store licenses be heard rather quickly so that everybody is aware of whether or not there's going to be a difficulty in having those licenses.
I'll recognize City Administrator McKittrick and Alderman Dantino.
That's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to bring to the council's attention that through the liquor license application process, it's not uncommon for an applicant to be building out. The only reason this is coming before the council is because of the rezoning and the request for the appropriate zoning. But typically, when a new tenant goes in, it's not uncommon for that tenant to be building out and going through a building permit process. And asking for applying for a liquor license at the same time. So again, that's a risk that the applicant is taking. That the council, for the most part, is typically unaware of, but is happening concurrently. So.
Alderman Dantino.
If there was an available liquor license, then that issue would not come before us. Or is there never an available liquor license?
That's correct. If there was an available liquor license and the zoning was in place and the applicant met the criteria under our liquor ordinance and met the investigation criteria, that would not come before you.
So in this case, then, if there is some opposition, we're fortunate that we don't have the liquor license, because then it's going to come for us just to increase the package liquor license, but it's not going to have a name attached to it. Who it's for, I guess we can make that assumption at this point.
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, for example, if another existing store should close,
yeah,
there's a liquor license available, per se.
Then we have no say in the matter.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, that's correct, unless there's a zoning issue.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor?
Alderman Hill?
Thank you. I didn't take the time to drive over to the locations to try to figure out how close they are going to be to each other. But are we selling liquor by the bottle and by the glass in an existing location right there?
No, we are not.
We're not. So this
Plus Subway has a hell of a gig going, but I'm not worried.
Okay. It's close to the Subway over there?
No, it's not.
No, but the new proposed location here is directly south of the Fuller's gas station.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Subway was the old.
Subway was in there too, but
Subway's in the existing one.
Yeah, the other liquor store is on the north side of State Street. There.
That's correct. Yeah.
Are they selling liquor by the glass?
They're not permitted to do so.
No. Okay. So we're just talking about a zoning change to allow packaged liquor to be sold on the south side of State Street in the general area of Fuller's gas station.
That's correct.
Right. And if we approve that and they go ahead and they ask for a liquor license to sell liquor by the glass, which is a possibility, I understand, then we have to make that decision later on.
I'll defer to the city attorney.
I haven't looked at that question, Mr. Mayor, because we have a number of different classifications, and in order to be able to sell on the premises, there's certain criteria. In some cases, there's square footage requirements. Some cases, there is whether you're serving it with food. There are certain licenses that allow you, for example, wine tasting or wine only. So you'd have to look at the specific request before I think any of us could make a determination.
And to the city attorney's remarks, City Administrator McKittrick has made it one of her goals this year, and I know it's a short-term goal, to actually consolidate the many, many liquor licenses we have in existence, because not only are they complicated, they're cumbersome. They're difficult to understand by us as policymakers. They're difficult to understand by those who are seeking them. Certainly our police department has a challenge in terms of reconciling what people are applying for, what it permits them to do and not do. So
if we're just considering rezoning and allowing another store to sell liquor by the bottle, that's all we really should be considering tonight. I don't see any reason to prevent that, even though they may be next door neighbors. And they're not, because they're across a very busy highway, and people coming from one direction or the other are going to probably prefer to stop on the one which on their right side. Not always, but I think we ought to end discussion and have a vote.
I don't have evidence, but it's apparently the previous council was sampling the product prior to making all the liquor license classifications.
I see. Well, so,
from the dais, anyone else? Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to say that since the Plant Commission recommended the approval of the special use permit to allow the packaged sale of alcoholic beverages on that site, I will be voting favorably for this.
From the audience, is there anyone who wishes to make a comment, ask a question? We have a motion. We have a second. This is item 11B, as in boy. Mr. City Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
No.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Piper votes aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
The motion passes 8 affirmative votes, 2 nay votes. The motion is passed. Item 11A, folks. Item 11A is to consider approval of water and sewer rate alternative number D, as in David, 2, in the water and sewer rate cost of service study and rate development study. Is there a motion to consider approval? Motion by Piper on the phone.
Second.
Seconded by Flanagan live. This motion is on the floor. Superintendent, Mr. Van Gescom, is available tonight to answer any questions. We do have some guests in the audience tonight who I know would like to ask some questions or make some comments, but I'll defer to the dais first. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you know, I typically don't speak first on an issue, but I think there is something that got a little confused in previous discussions, which is that people should remember that this is an enterprise fund. It's a completely separate fund. The books are kept separately. So for some reason, we, the water department, the engineers in charge of the study, came up with a number which is slightly too high, and at the end of this year, we have a slightly more dollars left in this fund than we had anticipated. We're anticipating this fund is going to be close to drained in a couple of years if we don't do something. If there is a couple of dollars left in that fund, they stay in that fund. They accrue to the benefit of the citizens who are buying and paying for the water. And next year, when we have to look at the fund to decide whether we need a rate, or 2 years from now when we have to look at the fund, those extra dollars that we may have made a mistake this year, they will still be there, and they will accrue to the benefit of all the people who buy the water. So it's not a question as if we have raised it a few cents too much that money is going to go to somewhere else. It's not going to go to help the streets. It's not going to go to help the police department or the fire department. The extra few cents that we may have charged because we overestimated the amount of money we need to keep this fund solvent and in good fiscal shape this year, those extra few cents will end up staying in this fund, and they will be there, and they will accrue to the benefit of the water users in future years. So if most people in this town are like me, they plan on staying in this town for a number of years. They plan on purchasing water from this town and using the town's sewer system to dispose of their used water. Those funds will stay there, and they will accrue to our benefit. And if we made a slight mistake this year and the fund is a little bit rosier at the end of this year than it currently projects to be, we do not lose those funds. The water rate payers will have those funds waiting for them, and we will be able to decrease any future rate increases that we may have to worry about. So I think it's very important that people realize that the money that they spend, that they pay for their water and sewer rates, stays in that fund, and it accrues to the benefit of that fund. And it will be there in future years. If for some reason the people who advise us, and all we can do is take the advice of the experts, the people who advise us claim we need a rate increase of this size. If it's a little bit bigger than we actually need it because we miscalculated our financial forecast, that money will stay in the fund. It'll still be there, and it will benefit us in future years. And maybe we'll be able to keep the rate increase lower in future years. So I think that's very important for people to know. This money doesn't go anywhere else, and we're guessing at how much is needed, and I think the experts have done their hardest. They worked very hard. They sharpened their pencils twice at the request of the council. The numbers went down two times, and I think we're at a point now where we just have to say, look, this is our best guess. We got to go forward with it, and if indeed we guessed wrong, it's not as if we lose the money. It's still there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Brown. Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Hill?
I'd like to ask what is the amount of money that we have in these funds now? I mean, if we
buy enterprise reserve, fund?
Yes, the enterprise fund, or whatever fund Alderman Brown was talking about.
Well, Alderman Brown is referencing specifically the water and sewer fund, which is an enterprise fund. Mr. Van Gescom can address that, but of course we also have the electric fund.
Yes.
To answer that, Alderman Hill, I asked Don Weiss about a week and a half ago what our reserves were at this time, and they were about $1.6 million. So we're pretty close to where we were projecting to be. But that depends on the fiscal year end. But between 1.6 and about 1.7 is where we're at.
All right. I add, Mr. Mayor, as a that this fund is the cash and short-term investments. It's not all cash. The cash and short-term investments that we refer to as the reserves are at the lowest they've been in many years in this fund. So they are, the trend is down at the moment. And certainly you can get yourself into trouble both with your bond agencies, and you can get yourself into real trouble if you have a major failure, which requires you to go out and borrow money. The last thing we want to do is borrow money. And you need to have enough money on hand for fluctuations in your expenses on a month-to-month basis. And as I say, not all of these funds are actually cash on hand. Some of them are in short-term investments. So one has to be a little careful about the city treasurer. Mr. McQueeny does a very, very good job of husbanding this money and trying to keep enough in the shortest-term investments and some of it in slightly long-term investments so that that money is not just there when we need it for an emergency, but is also earning whatever interest we can manage to milk out of the banking system at this point. So not only is it there for an emergency to keep our water and sewer system going, but it's actually earning some interest, the amount that we have in reserve for an emergency. And that continues into the future. And the thing that bothers me, I looked at it, and the amount of cash and short-term investments in this fund has been continuously going down the last few years. And that's what made me change my mind. I originally opposed this, and I've decided now that, yes, indeed, this is the time to consider a small increase in the rates and hopeful that we can level this off and keep this thing in good financial shape, which it is. I'll remind people that our bond rating is very good, that we can keep it in good financial shape going into the next couple of years. Thank you.
Alderman Hill, the floor is yours still.
I'll give it up to whoever wants.
Alderman Flanagan, then Alderman Maladra, then Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had been out of town, so I had to actually watch our telecast.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It was really very, very entertaining. And I learned a lot by listening to what was going on. I originally wasn't too excited about the water rate increase. And after looking at a lot of the information and listening last this past week, I know I did my own evaluation, so to say, and I believe that if we forestall this, if we wait till next year, I think we're going to get into a little bit of a bind. I don't think we should really avoid this rate increase. I didn't like it at first. I'm not really crazy about it. I mean, I'm going to have to pay it just like everyone else does in the city. I noticed that I asked Mr. Van Gescom to give me an idea as to how much we owe, and we owe close to $23 million. And I know that it's over a span of time, but still that amount is going to be gnawing at our ankles, and we need to bring that down. We have capital investments that need to be, I mean, capital projects that we need to address, and if we don't do this, I think we're going to be in just a lot of deep water. So I'm going to that was a great pun. Anyway, I will vote for this. I think that's the correct direction to go.
Alderman Maladra, then Alderman Pollack.
I wanted to follow up a little bit on what Alderman Brown was saying and actually bring up something that he mentioned last week. You know, at the end of the day, folks, it is what it is. We built a water treatment plant. We developed a financial model to help us cope with that based on certain assumptions that ended up not playing out. You can't sit here and say, oh, I wish they would have played out differently. You have to deal with the fact that they didn't, and you have to adjust. If we don't adjust, this $1.6 million in reserves is going to go down very rapidly. If we have another year with consumption like we had this year, I think that the reserve balance at the end of the next fiscal year will be alarmingly less than it is currently. Stuff happens, and as stewards of this enterprise fund, we need to adjust to deal with it, and that's what this is all about. So I, too, will support it.
Alderman Pollack, then Alderman Vogelsberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Craig, I agree, stuff happens, and that we do have to adjust. When the treatment plant was built, the presumption was the water usage, we would have a great deal of water usage as a result of commercial and industrial users, specifically coming from the Geneva Business Park, the industrial park. And that has not panned out. At the time, we had a very aggressive director of economic development who was marketing those parcels to bring those high users to Geneva. And the economic crisis hit us. We have a different economic director, and through no fault of them, it's the sign of the economy. So now the homeowner is being asked to pay for the increase. If we have 1.6 to 1.7 in reserve, and we're required, the council has made the policy to carry 1.5 million. Is that correct, Mary?
1.8 would be closer to what we're looking.
Mary, can you speak that into the microphone? That'd be fantastic.
I believe it was 1.8 that we were looking for to be closer to the mark.
And how did we? How was that number arrived at?
Bob, I don't know if you want to weigh in, but we were looking at a minimum of 90 days for operating expenses.
Correct. If you take 90 days and divide that into our current operating budget, and I can give you that number, it's roughly, Mary's right, I believe it's 1.847 comes into mind.
So we're
as a minimum, we want to carry 1.5.
So as a minimum, we want to carry 1.5.
Yes.
Okay. Well, actually, our policy says the 90 days.
Okay. Me personally, I did not want to get or with discussions with other city staff. We don't want to go below 1.5. But Mary is right. 90 day minimum is about 1.8.
Gotcha. All right. And I recognize In the scheme of things, this is a small increase. But I'll tell you, I'm certain you're tired of hearing this, but in these economic times, even the slightest increase to the households in Geneva adversely affects them. Some called it a rainy day fund. Well, it's pouring out there.
That's why nobody's using
it. It's pouring. And in good conscience, I can't vote to increase the water rate. Yes, I understand we have capital projects. Yes, I understand that we have debt that we're responsible for. But it's a tough decision. And I can't pass it on to the taxpayers, not in these times. Not now. Thanks.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, no one could disagree that times are bad, and it is very hard to talk about an increase, but we have to have some type of increase because we don't have enough money to run the plant that we have for our water. And I feel like I want to be the rah-rah and say let's not raise the rates, but if our bond rating falls because we ate through our reserves, then we're not doing the taxpayers any favor because all the money we borrow is going to cost more. Also, I know the capital projects, sometimes capital projects can seem kind of glamorous, but I feel like these are necessary. There are things that people just assume will be taken care of, like there will not be tons of water main breaks. I feel like when there are water main breaks because of problems like that, we aldermen are the first ones to say, I want grass, I want sod, I want this for them, this. We're not going to be able to do that anymore. It's nice to say I don't want to raise the rates, but that also means when somebody calls you at midnight and says, I have a water main break, you say, I'm sorry, we can't afford overtime. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow morning. So it's not just a linear decision. It's a hard decision, and I totally understand it. But we have a state-of-the-art facility, so that's a good thing. That's an investment, and we Also, even with a slight increase, our rates are right in the middle of all the other towns. So it's not like we are, you know, having a Cadillac budget. So even though I think we'd all prefer not to raise any rates of anything, I don't see we have a choice. And I feel like, and that's just my opinion, I don't want to be penny wise and pound foolish. So thank you.
I'm happy to recognize Alderman Maladra for a second time, unless there's someone who has not yet spoken and wishes to do so. Alderman Piper from the beautiful city of Detroit.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank Dawn for what she just said, because referring to this as a rainy day fund is not doing it justice. The policy that we put in place is directly tied to what our bond rating is. That's going to affect us in the future if we start going through that money. It's disastrous. We've seen what happens when we do that. We specifically changed policy against it. I think it's probably a net break even for most of the people in town, because now that we have the citywide softening, everybody can put their softeners on bypass. So all the money that they're saving in salt, this is a very, very small increase for a much better product, and we don't have any choice. We've got to pay this back, and I think affecting our bond rating in any way would once again be penny wise and dollar foolish. We will lose in the future by doing that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Piper. Thank you, Alderman Piper. Alderman Maladra.
Well, we'll pick up on the bond rating theme. I think that bond ratings are affected by a drop in reserves because it indicates that the city has taken on more risk. I think that the challenge that I have with forestalling a decision today is that we pass on to tomorrow a far riskier position. We'll dip into our reserves this year, according to what some people are proposing, and then if we have a repeat of a year like we had this year, our ability to start replenishing those reserves is non-existent, and this starts to compound upon itself, and so the slippery slope that we drop into picks up speed. I realize it's a difficult decision to make right now, and to pass on a small increase today is a hard thing to do, but I think it's the right thing to do, because the alternative is we pass on to residents a much rougher position next year. To sit here today and say I'm going to pass on a small increase, but next year if I have to, I'll vote for a 10% increase, that's ridiculous. That's not. It's much harder to vote for a 10% increase at any point in time than it is at a smaller increase today. Plus, next year we'll be talking from a position of emergency rather than thoughtfulness. So make the hard decision today. Do what's right so that you don't pass on today's problems to tomorrow. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor. Alderman Hill.
Thank you.
And Pollack.
I have a question of City Administrator McKittrick. Now, whatever decision we make tonight, must that stand for 12 months, or can that be changed in 6 months or nine months?
Process-wise, let me chime in real quick. Tonight, we're considering the rate study. There has not been an ordinance prepared yet to make that rate study, whatever it is, or excuse me, rate consideration, whatever it is, effective until the city attorney drafts that. The city attorney has been charged with preparing that ordinance for consideration at a special city council meeting next Monday evening, May 10th. So until that ordinance is actually enacted, then that rate consideration will take effect. So.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for looking at me like that, Mary. Appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, if I might, the only thing that I would add to that is, yes, the ordinance can be for a different specific amount of time as opposed to 12 months. However, it is confusing to the residents, I think, if we impose different rates for a few months at a time. So I think that for their sake, you know, for them to understand what the rate is, to say that we're going to increase it for, I don't know what you were thinking, maybe 4 or 6 months, and then change it after that time, I would think that it would be somewhat confusing.
I was really thinking of only 75 days. And that would give us a chance to see what our water usage would be in late spring and early summer. And if it is down, as it has been in the last 2 years, then I would certainly be in favor of an increase. But at this point, we don't know. We're guessing one way or the other, whether it'll be down or if it'll be higher. That's why I'm going to suggest that we table this motion until City Council meeting of July the 19th. This is approximately 75 days from tonight. It gives us some time to see what the water and sewage usage will be, and that delays any increase of costs to our ratepayers.
What was the date?
It was suggested July 19th. It's a Monday.
This is a motion to table. It requires a second. It is not debatable. If there's not a second, the motion to table dies.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Pollack. Again, there's no debate allowed on a motion to table. Mr. City Clerk, please take the roll.
Greg Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Piper votes nay.
Ron Singer?
Nay.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Ralph D'Antino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
The motion to table fails. The main motion returns to the floor with the original motioner and seconder. That, of course, is Alderman Piper and Alderman Flanagan. Alderman Pollack, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't necessarily disagree with where you're going, Sam, perhaps delaying a rate increase for a period of time. You know, a lot of focus is on how much water usage there's going to be. But what we haven't heard is what's in the pipeline in terms of new users coming into the city. You know, I don't think we can just bank on people taking more showers or watering their grass. What we need is real economic development in that industrial park or other places in the city, so the rate isn't borne solely by the residential customer. That, I feel, needs to be identified, explored, and taken into consideration in consideration with what you were, I think, looking at, Sam.
Alderman Pollack, I would be happy to, on behalf of Economic Development, who isn't here this evening, but I can tell you that there have been extensive meetings and discussions with potential developers for the southeast area. As a matter of fact, we've got the study in the budget this year. But frankly, the bottom line, it boils down to utilities and the cost to take utilities out there. And at this point in time, unfortunately, the city's not in a position to issue bonds to implement the utilities that are needed. Therefore, we rely on the developers who can't afford that type of capital investment. And that is really the bottom line and the holding point. We have lots of interest. But we just are not in a position at this point in time to assist. But I'd be glad to talk and to give you more specifics if you'd like to meet.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I know that that's a part of the equation that has to be addressed. You know, we can't just say, okay, people, take more showers. You know, we need, hey, big business, come to town. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Welcome.
From the dais, anyone else? From the audience, gentlemen, just for the record, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to speak, we invite you to the podium. We ask you to state your name, spell your last name, and if you could share with us your address as well, and speak directly into that microphone so the millions at home can hear.
My name is Paul Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R, and I live at 1201 West State Street, right at the corner of State and Logan Street Drag Strip. That's another matter. I have a few questions and statements to make about this. First of all, what's more important in this town, conservation or money? I hear people say, take more showers, jokingly. Okay, if you're going to, you also, though, you have watering days, so you cut watering. If you want people to use more water, cut that out. People would water the grass more. I don't water mine, but I know a lot of people do. I'd like to know what the water, for lack of a better term, I don't know what to call it, water district has done to cut costs.
It's a fair question.
How many employees does the water group have?
Fair question.
If the town, the city, is going to run like a business, has anyone looked at the unemployment rate lately? Get rid of some people. I know that's not a nice thing to do, but hey, it's out there. No city job should be untouchable, including the mayor's.
I'm with you.
Okay.
In fact, I hereby resign effective immediately.
I wouldn't have your job in a heart second.
You're too smart, that's why.
I happen to work at the local food pantry that's run out of St. Peter.
Yes, sir.
Believe it or not, there's people from Geneva. We don't like to think about it, but there's Geneva people that come there for food every time. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that this economy around here, people need any more rate increases on anything. When I really get low on how things are working around this town, I get the feeling that it's trying to become a yuppie-dum, move out the people that don't have as much so it can all be wealthy people around here. You know, a lot of people have lived here a long time. They'd like to continue to live here, but guess what? They're not going to be able to if things continue to raise. I happen to be retired. I know. It's a long story, but I've been retired for a while. Okay, my wife is getting to that age. We'd like to live around here. The only reason we can hold on to our home now is we worked real hard when we were younger and paid for it. If I was anybody else, I wouldn't move into this town, because things are getting so out of line. And what's the deal? Are you going to come up with some good pragmatic answers, or are we just going to keep raising the costs? Thank you.
Mr. Schneider, thank you. We do have some pragmatic answers for you. And I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Van Gescom, who can certainly elucidate and perhaps edify all those who may share your opinion regarding what we have done in the water department to cut costs. And then I'd like to recognize our city administrator, Mary McKittrick, to also share with you what we've done across the board to contain costs, including the impact on employees. So, Mr. Van Gescom?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Schneider. I appreciate your comments, and I would just like to go over a few things. This past budget, the overall budget was reduced, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, but almost 3% over last year. That is along with the previous year to where we cut our budget by 5% and the year before that by an additional 2.5%. The water treatment facility itself was budgeted to have five total employees. We did not staff it at five employees. We wanted to take those folks from within, bring them out there. We saved on additional training by doing that. We brought them out there. We felt comfortable of their expertise. So we feel comfortable staffing with that facility with three people. Currently, our staffing at our the people who take care of our water and sewer, we are currently staffed by four people plus a supervisor. That is to take care of over 200 miles of water main. That is to take care of over 200 miles sanitary sewer and 200 miles of storm sewer. We do that by our maintenance programs. We do that as far as emergencies, water main breaks, regular sanitary and storm sewer cleanings, service leaks, you name it. These folks have also helped out a little bit of the work at our water treatment facility. They've also helped enormously with our wastewater treatment facility when we were down folks there. They have also helped out in snow plowing activities, which is one of their major duties. So for the majority of cities, I know two of them that I can speak for, those departments are separated. They have a much larger departments for they have a separate department for water. They have a separate department for sanitary sewers. We have been very fortunate over the years to maintain an excellent customer service to our citizens for everything from water maintenance, quality of water, excellent services as far as from sanitary distribution system, storm sewer distribution system, wastewater treatment. These folks should be applauded. To think that we should cut personnel is a disaster waiting to happen. We do not have the people in place currently that we probably should have as far as taking care of our municipality, as far as making sure that the system is maintained for the water and sewer distribution system. The only reason I make that comment is because we're currently down one employee in our water and sewer maintenance division. So our full-time staff was staffed at five people, okay? Not four and one supervisor, five. We have made that consideration in order to help our budget and to make sure that our revenues and our deficit meet. So at the end of the year, I can say, you know what, we're in pretty doggone good shape. We've had to cut. We cut employees. We cut capital expenses. But you know what, we're still in a pretty good situation. These people also, we've been short a meter reader. These people also pitched in when we felt it wasn't a good time to be hiring an extra meter reader. These people got in and pitched in and did meter reading. You know what? At this point, I don't know what else to say. I think we've done a very good job. I'm proud of my staff. I'm proud of the assistance and support that you all have given to us. I guess at this point I'll leave it up to Ms. McKittrick to follow through.
Can I ask one question about?
Sure. Let me first say that my purpose of inviting Mr. Van Gescom to share the information was not to editorialize, which he did not do. In fact, few of our department heads are even allowed to editorialize. They are asked to present facts, and Mr. Van Gescom, you did exactly that. So thank you very much. Alderman Pollack?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. Bob, and there's no doubt that regarding the questioning of your personnel's performance, can't question it. Absolutely outstanding. These guys, they do a great job. But just for clarification, you want to add one person, well, a meter reader, right?
No, our meter reader is currently fully staffed. We already took care of that. What we are short...
Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. That was in the budget.
Right. What we are
currently short... Strike that question.
Okay.
I'd like to now recognize City Administrator McKittrick to perhaps provide the 30,000-foot perspective with respect to how this council, the department heads, supervisors, and, shall I say, frontline personnel have not only been extraordinarily conservative in how they invest the monies we allocate, but have actually come forward and recommended additional ways in how they can preserve the funds that we grant.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would expound on what's already been said by primarily inviting anyone that would like to go through last year's budget as well as the current year's budget to sit down with me, and I can show you numerous cuts that we made. For example, last year we cut our general fund by 20%. I think that's unheard of for most municipalities and most private businesses. We are operating with fewer employees that we were operating with in 2006. So 4 years later, we have fewer employees that we did when we were going through still a growth period. We have deferred capital projects. We have added to our reserves. We have maintained a good bond rating. We have looked at everything that we can look at, and we're still all under budget at the end of the fiscal year, which our fiscal year is May 1st, so we just ended the 09-10 fiscal year. Every department, even with the 20% cuts that we had, still came out in the black and still had money that they didn't spend because I asked them to be very conservative because of revenues, because of what's going on in Springfield, and because of our need to maintain reserves in case of an unexpected emergency, such as an earthquake or a tornado. If that were to come through and devastate our town, it would take all of our reserves to keep us up and running. So we look at those things very seriously. And we had this, for this fiscal year that we just started, I met with staff over 40 times to go through the budget with a fine-tooth comb. I can't tell you how responsive they were, how willing they were to accommodate, to make changes, to make the reductions wherever they could, and defer things that they could, not just cut, but to say, we need this, but we can wait another year. So we've taken it very seriously. We continue throughout the year to take it seriously, not just making the cuts and presenting the council with those, but as we've gone through the 12-month period, we've also adjusted, saying, even though this money is in the budget, we're still holding back, not spending what we don't have to spend until we need absolutely need to or feel that we absolutely should. But you can only do that for so long. Again, you can only defer capital projects for so long, and then things start breaking down, and you find that you're behind the eight ball at that point in time. So we have, and we will continue to be very fiscally conservative. I can tell you that we have a policy in place run by very professional human resources folks that any time that a position opens up, we take the job description, we look at the functions of the job description to see if they need to be updated, and then we ask the question, can we get by without filling the position? And if the answer is no, then the next question is, can we get by with filling the position with part-time instead of full-time? Each and every position opportunity that comes up related to human resources goes through that process. So we're very careful about filling a position, deferring a position, or changing it if need be.
Mr. Mayor? Alderman Brown?
May I ask?
Excuse me. Forgive me, Alderman Brown. Forgive me. I did promise Alderman Antino the floor. I apologize.
Sorry.
He could go first.
Alderman Brown, my apologies.
I had a question for Mr. Van Gascombe. I was surprised to hear that you run the water treatment plant with three people, because I know that we talked about five when we built it.
Correct.
You have some other people cross-trained, I hope, because this is a life safety issue.
Well, correct.
I have a niece. We heard from her in Boston. They're still boiling their water, over a million people in Boston.
Yeah.
This is, you know, that plant runs 24/7, and we're talking a life safety issue here. So I presume you have people who can back up those poor three people who are on call 24/7.
We have two other licensed operators that could go over there at any point in time.
That's good to hear, because as we, you know, we forget these things until we get an oil spill or a major city having to boil its water. This your plant is a very important plant. Equally, the sewer plant could leave life safety issues if it broke down in a major way.
Yes, and if you don't mind, because if Dan Dobnik is watching this, he will nail me tomorrow if I do not mention the awesome job that those guys did in the very difficult circumstances that they dealt with in the past year. Did not complain one bit. I don't want to go into significant detail because some of it is private, but they were down original staff of five people to take care of the enormous job that they have with the not only US EPA but also IEPA things that they have to make sure that they meet, you know, water quality, and those folks did it for 6 months during the summer while we had some difficulties down there with two folks.
And Mr. Van Gieskam, just for the record, you are referring to the wastewater plant.
That's correct, the wastewater
just
treatment
facility.
Just
so folks at home know exactly.
And I just, you know, I would feel terrible if I did not have the opportunity to thank those guys personally for the job that they did when I had the opportunity. So thank you.
Alderman Dantino, my apologies again for...
Not a problem. Question, I'm trying to figure out between, this is the actual sheet with the raise, the increases on it that's on our desk. So the difference with a 6% reduction in consumption and a rate increase as the 3.6, we're going to generate about $350,000 more revenue, it looks like to me. Does that look like a right now? I'm doing that in my head, by the way.
Mr. Van Gieskam?
What page is that on?
The page that was on our desk.
I'm sorry, Alderman Dantino, that's the one that I offered to you based on your question from last week. I would have to look at it because that was not a...
okay, there was no note on this, so I wasn't sure what this was for, this here.
What Alderman Dantino is referring to is last week he asked what our reserves would be if we went with rate trial D3. So what I did is I offered...
For the benefit of those watching, rate trial D3 is to suspend any rate increase for this year but consider a rate increase for next year. The projected rate increase for fiscal year 2011-2012 would be approximately 10%.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct. So what I did is this was an appendix that was separate from your report. It was not put in the report. This was a document that was developed by Rempe Sharp to help them put in this report. You're asking what the reserves would be is if we did not...
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry. What the difference would be is between rate trial D2 and D3 as far as what our reserves would be at the end. And I believe you are correct.
Now I understand what that sheet of paper explains.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I didn't know what it was for, and I didn't know I was the only one who got that as well.
Yeah, I sent you
an email.
Yes.
I'm having internet problems at home. But
okay.
I'm
sorry.
The question then is, in the rate increase that we're proposed that was passed at the COW meeting last week, what is the difference in revenue between 9-10 and 10-11 then, increase in revenue? we're proposing a 6% decrease, and I don't have my booklet in front of me, so now I can't figure it out. Alderman Marks can do that in his head, probably.
If you don't mind, let me look that up, and I'll
in other words, how much does a 3.6 increase generate in revenue? And you don't have to do that right now. Second question, I would just like to disagree with something that Mary McKittrick said, City Administrator, that private businesses did not reduce their expenses by 20%. All the businesses that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, in most cases, exceeded a 20% decrease in expenses, as well as mostly employees that took that type of pay cuts. So I'd have to disagree with you on that statement. Thank you.
Mr. Schneider, is there anything else you'd like to ask? Or
still haven't heard anything about...
Come to the microphone. We bought that with your tax money. We want to make sure you use it. So.
I still haven't heard anything about water usage. Are we supposed to use more? Are they going to give up the watering days? Or?
No, we're not. I mean, Mr. Van Gessen is going to respond to that specifically, but I would just say to amplify a point you made earlier was, are we supposed to conserve resources or conserve money? I think the answer is both. But Mr. Van Gessen, he's going to specifically address the issue regarding whether we're going to...
It almost sounds like you're saying people should use a lot of water. Use as much as you can.
I'm not saying that, sir. No.
If you use less water, your bill will go down. If you use less water, your bill will go down.
But your rates will go up.
But the rate will go up slightly. If you use 10% less water, your bill will only go down 5%, because unfortunately we have large fixed expenses of these big plants we built. It's unfortunate. But,
it's worth
it. Less water, your bill
How do
will go
you
down.
Use 10% less water?
Well, sir, you have a pool in your backyard, correct?
Not because I want it there.
That's not my question. My question is, do you have a pool?
Yes, I do.
Do you fill that pool every year?
No.
There you go. You should be applauded for your conservation efforts.
Let it be shown it's his wife's pool.
No.
But let me state this for history.
I think what I'm being told now is I have money, so I can't talk.
No, sir, not at all.
I think I am.
No, Mr. Schneider, don't misunderstand. Stay right there, handsome. Mr. Schneider, you forgot one important point, that 70% of the people in the city of Geneva recommended to this city council that we build the water treatment plant that we built.
And they never did end up working, did it?
Sir, it works extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
Have you visited it? Good seeing you again. If you need more cops on that speed trial, let me know how that works for you when you want to cut spending but increase government. Mr. Van Gessen, welcome. No need to answer that question. He's leaving. He doesn't give you the courtesy of listening to your response. No need to give him the courtesy of the information. Mr. Schneider, use the microphone. Otherwise, you're out of order.
The last accident I saw at that corner, and I've seen many.
It's not germane to this discussion, sir.
Oh, you're talking about the speed trap.
Fire away.
How many times have I seen kids from the school? But I can't say just kids,
sure,
because it's their parents, it's the teachers speeding away from the school that don't know where the stop signs are, don't know the speed limits. How long is it going to be before somebody gets killed out there?
Hopefully never.
Then you won't think it's flip.
I don't think it's flip at all. I know that you also are fond of putting major signs in your yard protesting and or proclaiming your political positions. Would you not agree that those are perhaps, distracting to the drivers? But that's enough of that. We'll move on.
Sir,
We can play this game all night, Mr. Schneider.
May I ask you something?
Yes, sir. The floor is yours.
Did you serve in the military?
I did not, sir.
I did.
I applaud your service. How did we go from talking about water rates and stop signs to
military
service?
That is my right to put up signs.
Yes, it is your right. Absolutely.
So it isn't your right. It's not for you to tell me I shouldn't.
I didn't say you shouldn't. I asked you a question, sir. That's all.
No, it's not a. I make sure they're not in anybody's vision.
Fair enough. I applaud your concern for the traffic safety of the community. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Have we calmed down at this point in time?
I promised this council over a month ago I would not use bad language nor let my temper get the best of me, and I think I've achieved that.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, I'll be dead at 10 o'clock, but nevertheless, that's all over, sir. Congratulations, yeah. Mayor Pro Tem.
Quick
point.
Yes.
If I may, I would like to show my gratitude for the administration, for the staff, for all the gentlemen and ladies that work for our city in sacrificing all their time and efforts for the way in which they've handled this difficult time. I certainly would like to commend Mrs. McKittrich on the basis that, and I'm sure our mayor would verify this statement I'm about to make, is that there was a time when he was approached by someone on the county level congratulating him on the manner in which Ms. McKittrich handles the city functionings and the position here. And he said, "You're very fortunate to have this young lady as an administrator." And I do feel very comfortable with that. And I want to say again, thank you, Mrs. McKittrich. And I hope you're not a free agent this year.
It's too late. We reappointed her.
Too late.
A violation of her contract.
So you're with us for another season. And
Mr. Mayor, if we could return to the subject on
okay,
the table.
Okay, I want to just comment and just add that and say thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Dantino, do you have anything else you'd like to ask?
I forgot.
There was an important question asked by Mr. Snyder that even in his disappearance I think should be answered, and that is the question of the alternate watering days in the summer.
The answer to that question is no. But I do not think Mr. Snyder deserves the respect of a formal answer by this council the way he treated me, Mr. Van Gescom, or anybody else. But the answer is no.
I believe the public.
The public heard me. The answer is no.
Explanation of why they are not related.
The answer is that we are not going to be abandoning our even odd day of watering systems. We are not encouraging our residents and or businesses to use more water. The fact of the matter is, as you so eloquently stated, we have a $23 million obligation, number one. The fact of the matter is this community, by a vote of 70% plus, said build this system. They didn't say build this system. If things go wrong, let's forget the bonds. They said build the system. So, but
there is another public safety reason behind the alternate water days, and that was that if everybody decides at the end of a very hot week to water on a Saturday morning, our water towers become dangerously low.
Correct.
And the fire department objected to us allowing that to happen and suggested that if we only allow half the people, because of weather conditions, to water on any given day, that would give us a little more safety margin in our water towers.
True.
So there was a separate public safety issue completely independent of the water rates, which is why we instituted the alternate days for watering. You don't want everybody in the city to drain water on the same Saturday morning. We'd be in trouble.
And as Alderman Brown and most of the council members can recall, we've had instances where we've actually sent out alerts saying no more watering.
Right.
And it's fascinating to be at Public Works and watch those little monitors in the water just drop at Logan Avenue or elsewhere. It's frightening. It's kind of interesting. But anyone else from the dais? Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank Alderman Brown for bringing that up because I thought it was important just for our viewing public to understand where we were going, and not necessarily for Mr. Snyder.
But. Good point. My apologies for the excitement. From the audience, anyone else? Zach, please join us.
Zach Kloppert, Kloppert, 514 North Pine Street. First off, to start, I mean, I've listened to and sat here and watched most of the discussion about the water rate. And first of all, Mr. Snyder, I do not envy you by any means, because this has been obviously a tough discussion, but it's one I think it comes down to almost fiscal responsibility. We, like it's been stated, we have a $23 million water plant that has to be paid for, and us tipping into reserves to pay for it and to cover our costs, lowering our bond rating, well, you're taking from one side and giving it to the other, but you're still short either way. We're not talking about doubling, tripling the water rate. We're talking about just a few dollars. In these economic times, nobody likes to see anything go up, but it comes down to responsibility. If we raise it 10% next year, there's no saying that anybody's going to be any better fiscal shape next year, so 10% next year, if we're still in the same shape, is detrimental. I mean, the city of Geneva's in general is in very good fiscal shape. I go to school in the city, there's $600,000 in debt, and they're happy about it because it's less than they thought they'd be. I think it's just more of a fiscally responsible thing to do, and I applaud everybody who's been a part of it, Rempy Sharp, Mr. Schneider, Ms. McKittrick, everybody.
Mr. Van Gesken.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Bob just grabbed his chest and rolled over. He does not live on the corner of Logan and State, just for the record. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Ploppert, you have a question for Mr. Ploppert?
No.
No.
But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ploppert. Mr. Vantino.
I just want to say, since I was the only one who got this thing here, that even with the proposed 10, 11, 11, 12, and 12, and 13, water rate increases at 0, 10.5, and then 0, and the proposed sewer rates at 0, 5, and 7.5, the funds that are highlighted never drop below 1.5 in the next 3 years with a 6% reduction in water. So Mr. Van Gesken seems comfortable with 1.5 million. I know Mary said it should be 1.8 million, but it's tough times, and I will keep my vote the same unless I'm reading this wrong.
Mr. Van Gesken.
Let me just clarify my position. When we did the rate study, I had told Rempy Sharp, and you can blame me for this, but everything that we had talked about internally, I heard 1.5 million baseline. That's what we wanted to take on. As I educate myself throughout this entire process, 90 days is what we want to go by. And based on our current operating revenue, that is, like I had said before, that is approximately, from what I remember when I calculated it, 1.847. That sticks in my mind. So I just want to clarify that.
Well, that was the reason for my question of how much the increase would be in revenue.
Sure.
Because I wanted to see how much of that was going to
Sure.
straight to reserves to move us from this 1.5 to 1.8 million.
I understand. What I did is, do you have the rate trials with you or no?
I do.
Okay.
I apologize.
No. I just wanted to refer to a page. That's all. It's a little bit difficult to go because, you know, you have your current monthly service charge, you have your estimated revenue under the current rate, estimated revenue under the recommended rate, and then the increase above the current rate. It comes out for roughly a 2.4% increase above our current rate, and unfortunately, I'd have to do a lot of hand math here, but the numbers are here. If I would look at it real quick and estimate it, we're probably looking at about 200,000 is about what I'm
estimating. I did find it, so I asked.
Okay.
I don't know what page you're on.
If you don't mind, I'd like to refer you. What I'm looking at is section 2D2, page 23 of 25. And as I scan through here, maybe there's a simpler page to look at, but that's what I found when I was sitting down there. And then that is just for water. Sewer is under a separate page.
No, I haven't come to that yet, so keep going.
Bob, we don't know what page that is in the study, do we?
No, I do not. I'm sorry.
Pages are numbered.
They're not numbered.
And, of course, if it's the will of the council, this information, well, actually, it is the will of the mayor, certainly, that this information can be provided to us prior to the vote of the ordinance next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So your quick round estimate is about $200,000?
That's what I'm thinking. I guess, you know, well.
That's all I need.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Questions for Mr. Van Gescombe or anyone in the audience? Questions or comments for the council? We have a motion by Piper. We have a second by Flanagan to approve item 11A as written, and that is, just for the record, folks, to approve water and sewer rate alternative D, as in David 2, in the water and sewer rate cost of service study and rate development study. This will be enacted once in ordinance, and should this council vote to do so, is drafted and prepared for special consideration on Monday, May 10th. If, in fact, this council advances it to that special council. So, last-minute questions or comments? Mr. City Clerk, please take the roll.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Piper votes aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
No. 7-3. Motion passes. 7 affirmative votes, 3 nay votes. This matter will be considered under ordinance form on Monday evening, May 10th, at a special city council meeting. We thank everybody for participating in the debate. Mr. Van Gescombe, thank you, and I request that the chief, if he's watching security, when I go home later tonight. Okay. Item 12A, consider resolution number 2010-35 for the election of the mayor pro tem.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by God knows who. I believe it was Vogelsberg.
No. I'm the only one that didn't approve it.
It was Brown made the motion, seconded by Alderman Pollack.
Sure.
Mr. Hill, if you should accept these duties, do you wish to comment prior to the vote taking place? And for those of you watching at home, this is the election of the mayor pro tem. Mr. Hill, if so confirmed, will represent the city while I am not present and or just not interested. So,
I hope it is never the latter, not being interested, and I'm sure that will never be the case. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. And I will do my duties to the best of my ability and try to do them as well as you. I'm not too sure I'm going to have to convert back to ties, though.
No, I didn't. Well, the clip-ons are still available, so help your...
That was not in the rules.
No, it should have been.
But thank you very much if it gets approved.
Thank you. Mr. Clerk, I'd like a roll call vote, please, just so Sam knows who his friends are and who they aren't.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
I proudly vote aye.
Robert Piper?
Threw him off.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
I think I ought to abstain.
Good one.
9 affirmative votes, 1 abstention. Alderman Hill, congratulations, and thank you very much for accepting the nomination.
Thank you, Mayor.
And the duties so assigned. Item 12B, consider ordinance number 2010-21, establishing a special service area number 25, at 1000 Randall Road Office Building Condominium through its 1000 Randall Road Condominium Master Association.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Maladra. This issue was considered under the public hearing earlier. Chairman Kendall spoke to it. The matters were resolved to his satisfaction by City Engineer Pam Broviak. There seemed to be general comfort from this council as well. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, normally there is a 60-day waiting period after the close of the public hearing to entertain any objections from the affected property owners. In this case, the city has received, and I've tendered to City Administrator McKittrick, waivers by the Condominium Association property owners. They wish to have the matter considered tonight. So they're waiving the 60-day period. We have done this in the past with other special service areas.
Very good. Anyone from the dais? Mr. Chairman, anything you'd like to add, Mr. Kendall? We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. City Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Piper votes aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much. We're at item 13, new business. Anyone in the audience? Any new business for the benefit of the community? From the dais, Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a statement here from Jerry and Catherine Black, who live at 439 Wakefield Lane in Geneva, Illinois. And this is directed towards Mr. Steve Lemire, who is our Director of Streets and Police Department. And he says to the gentleman, thank you very much for the excellent job the City Public Works Department did with coordinating the planting of a new City Parkway tree at our home this past week. As the third house to be constructed in Blackberry Phase 1 subdivision back in 1979, we looked forward to moving into our new home and worked hard to landscape it with a total of 10 trees. The trees all matured so nicely over the years until one tree split right in two last year and unfortunately had to be cut down and removed. Now, once again, we have a nice new replacement tree that someday will grow to shade the front of our home. Many thanks for coordinating that effort. The tree was exactly what we had asked for and planted right on the day you said it would be. So, there's always nice things that go on in our community, and I feel so pleased that our constituency appreciates the fine work that our city and staff perform here in our community. We are extremely fortunate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. Anyone else? I have just one bit of information, and that is a warning to all of you and those watching at home that effective May 10th, the chair of the Committee of the Whole meetings will begin their rotating basis. We'll begin with Alderman Hill, our mayor pro tem, and then we will go, I think, probably just down the line, first ward, second ward, third ward, fourth ward, and fifth ward. So for all of you watching at home and think for some reason I look an awful lot like Dorothy Flanagan, don't panic. I will be, no longer chairing the meetings at the committee level. Those will be chaired by an alderman, and we'll go from there. So, any other new business items? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dantino, seconded by Singer. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Good night, everyone.